we who focus and pay attention towards the walis of Allah. We take bayah with the wali of Allah. We meet the awliya Allah, the wali of Allah. The objective of doing bayah, pledging allegiance, and becoming the student, meeting the wali Allah, having the connection is so that we can become good and pious. Our situation is not good, we do not do ibadah correctly, we commit sins. So an individual goes to the company of a pious person and he corrects his ibadat, he corrects his mu'amulat. And this is our objective reasoning for making a connection and adhering to the company of the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah. If this is the objective, and those people go who don't pray salah, who do not do ibadah, who do not worship correctly, or who are weak, then the other people who already are praying salah, who do ibadat, who already are pious, mashallah, they strive and they do a lot of ibadah, they pray a lot of nawafil, voluntary prayer, and lots of others say that I'm going to keep this fast, X, Y, Z, I'm going to pray these nafil salah, or pray this, or worship extra. Then why have they been given an order also, an instruction? In the Quran there's the hukam, the order. There's no differentiation between who should adhere to the company of the wali Allah. Allah doesn't say that those who are pious, good, who keep fast and do ibadat and worship, and they exercise voluntary worship, okay, they don't need to have the company of a sheikh, but those who are weak, they should go. Is there any differentiation or instruction in the Quran? No, this is not the case. The hukam that has come, it is this, that everybody needs to take the company of the wali of Allah. Everybody needs to embark on the path of suluk. It doesn't matter if somebody is a muttaqi, ibadah, he does worship, he's a zahid, he has taqwa. Even that person has to adhere to the company. He does sayam, qiyam, fasting, keeps fast, etc. Everybody has to adhere. It's essential for that person. And just like that person who is weak, it's also essential for that person. Isn't this the case? This is the hukum. So what's the reason that there's no differentiation? Everybody is in the same boat. Okay, we can understand a person who's weak, he needs to improve his salah, he should have the company of someone pious. But those who already pray, why should they adhere to the company? So in reality, the objective is something else. The objective is something else. That everyone is in the same boat, equivalent on the same plate. In this case, without, for example, the company of the wali Allah, can a weak person go in Jannah? Nor can a person who does a lot of ibadah, even that person is essential, and even he doesn't have a chance to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without this following this path. And what's the reason? Why is this hukam there? This order, we should understand, we should also know, we should have this knowledge, so that for which reason have we got a sheikh? Why have we done bayah? Why have we got a teacher? If our ibadah is correct, improved, then are we off? Are we free? Are we disconnected now from that? No, the objective is something else. It's a very big objective for which we need to adhere to the company of the awliya Allah. And the reason for this, the pious predecessors have stated, that those who have defects, who are weak, they adhere to the awliya Allah's company to improve themselves. And then there's an objective beyond that, that if you start to do ibadah, those who already are doing ibadah and are following all the principles and rules, why do they adhere to the company of the wali of Allah? Both objective is the same end point. The result is one. They go for this reason. Allah's hukum is for this reason. That they have to be saved from the dangers of the nafs, of the desires. Remember this. To be saved from the hazards of the nafs. And this is the genuine objective. The genuine objective, the real objective. If a person's weak in ibadah and he starts to do ibadah, that's not the end of the journey. What's beyond that? That person needs to be saved and protected from the evil of the nafs, from the games of the nafs. And those who are already doing ibadah, worshipping, even they have to be protected from the evil effects of the nafs. Why? Because the nafs, the base desires, are lusts and desires. What do they do? Someone's doing ibadah, he's a muttaqi outwardly, and the nafs within that ibadah brings contamination, impurities, dirt. He contaminates, he doesn't even realize that he's got contamination in his deeds. He's happy, oh, I'm muttaqi, I'm pious, and I pray, I worship, I pray salah, I do qiyam, siyam, fasting, etc. And he doesn't realize that how is the nafs playing with him or her. The nafs is a big enemy. The nafs, the desires, is such an enemy of the human being. The Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that all of the battles, expeditions, tussles. Now there's a big battle that we need to undertake. A tussle, a clash. And what is that clash? The clash with our own nafs. We must fight with our own desires. My brothers, think from your hearts. Who is there from us who can fight with the nafs? Who is there? Yes, the fight with the enemy. If you overcome the enemy, what do you attain? This is the real enemy, such a big enemy, such a big enemy, the nafs of human being. We see that when you fight with someone physically, a human being, then if he's somebody somewhere is more stronger than us, if there's somebody stronger than us, then we ask for help. And then if the help, the assistance you get, then you offer somebody stronger to help you. Can you help me? Somebody stronger than me is fighting me. And if then the assistance you ask for is not strong enough, you ask for more stronger assistance, isn't it? So here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated clearly, subhanAllah, that from Allah, Allahumma inni a'udhubika min sharri nafsihi. That Allah, this is such a big tussle, a clash, I cannot beat my nafs. Allah, give me protection and make me win over my nafs. Imagine that the biggest power, we are asking Allah, the greatest, the most supreme and powerful, that Allah save me, I cannot fight with my nafs, it's a severe enemy of mine. Allahumma inni a'udhubika min sharri nafsihi. Allah save me from the evil of my nafs. Look at this. We need the extreme assistance of Allah. The biggest deception as a result of nafs is, no, you're fine, your ibadah is good, you don't need a guidance, you don't need anyone to direct you, you are forgiven. You nafs will make you see dreams, other people will praise you, and you'll make you do mu'amalat and worship actions we won't realize. Such al-kab titles, Janabi Allah, you'll become famous in the dunya. You'll get fame and status. And all of this is the game of al-nafs, the desires, the games of nafs. The nafs is toying with us, making us believe. So as long as if a person is not clashing and striving against his or her own nafs, then that person can never be successful, never attain success. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, a human being, you cannot fight on your own against the nafs. It's very difficult. It's too hard for you. It's too difficult for you. This is khabis, wretched, the nafs. You cannot overcome nafs on your own, but it's necessary, essential, that go to the skilled craftsman, technician who already has overcome the nafs and is a master of breaking the nafs. He will tell you the tricks of the trade and you will think, I've achieved. And he will show you that you're lying flat on the earth. Your face is rubbed on the earth. What game, what drama are you playing that you're deceived? And this is a very big point we need to understand. Do you understand what I'm saying? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala stated in the Quran, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْقُرْآنَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. You can become the master of Qur'an and hadith and fiqh. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْقُرْآنَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. You can be on any high maqam of ilmiyat, knowledge. But if you do not do وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, if you don't learn the skill to fight off your own nafs, then you will waste all of your knowledge. Because in every ibadah, in every action of worship, it doesn't matter how high you go, he will contaminate your knowledge and deen and practice and ask you a question, would you like that you drink such a milk in which there's contamination, mixture of impurities? Nobody would like to drink that, would you? Yes, you'll read the ingredients first. What's in this packet of food that I'm buying? Soon as you see something's dirty, impurity or not good for you, you'll reject that packet. Even if it's on a sale, a discount, and it's £30 normally and it's on sale for £5, yeah? Massive discount. You say, I'm not buying this. This is contaminated. Our expired, out of date, etc. So in the court of Allah, when our deeds will be presented, when our salah will be presented, our fasting, our Quran, at that time, what hisab will we do? When there will be things, impurities mixed with our nafs, such dangerous things, riya, takabbur, envy, jealousy, wasting time, thousands of impurities would be combined. And the Quran is telling us this. The Quran is telling us, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَى وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. that in the world what will destroy you, the nafs, and the real destruction will be when then you go to the court of Allah in the hereafter and you'll be present and your ibadah will be thrown back in your face. At that time, what will you say? Allah, my Quran, I read Quran. Allah will say, be careful, don't be lost in the realm of your ibadah. Okay, I give you tawfiq to do ibadah. But have you protected your ibadah, your worship, from the nafs? Allah says, there are enemies running after you. This is your test in the world. Challenge. And we speak sort of nonsense, or we'll waste our time gossiping. I am this, I am high status. These are all in the name of the nafs that you've become this. Fight your nafs, Allah Ta'ala says. Why are you blaming Allah in the hereafter? Nowadays people say this so easily. What can we do? Allah made me like this. I cannot practice. I cannot do worship, etc. Imagine this. So we blame Allah. This is the test in life. Allah's given everyone ahsani taqweem status. Every child, doesn't matter whose womb the child is in, even if she's a disbeliever, Allah says that this child is born as ahsani taqweem to the world, innocent. And then further in life, the child is spoiled due to environment or company. And then when they do wrong deeds, they say, Allah made us born like this. No, this is deception of the nafs. The nafs makes a person a mushrik, that he's blaming Allah for his scenario. We are blaming our sins on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na'udhu billah. Astaghfirullah. Instead of being ashamed, presenting ourselves to Allah, tawbah, repent and cry, lament, and ask waliwala for guidance and company so we can fight off shaitan and nafs. Alhamdulillah, and then work hard, try yourself so that Allah Ta'ala can help you. But today we go to the flip side. We say, no, Allah's made me like this, I can't do much about it. Now I was going to be like this, I was destined for this. We make excuses. Think, what a massive deception and delusion that the nafs is making us feel. After dying, we will be made what? Fuel for the fire. What's the need of shaitan? Doesn't need us. Nafs doesn't need us. As long as we have breath left in our life, we have to think that every second, every moment, just like we're saved from this fire, yes, that this fire, keep on protecting yourself from the fire of this world, then save yourself moreover from the fire of Jahannam, that we cannot understand the heat, the temperature of that fire in the hereafter. We cannot understand it. It is lazim, compulsory beyond compulsory for every human being. Doesn't matter how much ibadah he does, whether he's weak or he's pious beyond pious. It is lazim, that is more lazim for the person who's so-called pious and worshipping, to have the company of the awliya Allah, of a wali. To fight the nafs, you cannot fight the nafs yourself. You must go to the skilled technician who knows the tricks of the nafs. He'll tell you the solutions, the methods. Yes, so the first point we've understood. Understood now? What I'm saying? So don't think now, oh, I went for this reason, I wanted to improve my salah and keep the bid and improve my ibadah. This is not what we go for. Even if you do these things, if I do this, correct my parents, what's the next step? Is our nafs being crushed? Is the nafs in control? Tell me, is it? The tricks of the nafs, the signs that are we worshipping the nafs, there's a very easy sign for this, to recognize this. Very easy sign that we can use to recognize, are we overcoming the nafs? A hint, a sign. We can see, you can see, I can see. That are we obeying Allah's orders or the nafs' orders? Subhanallah. End of story. Any order that's coming, whose order are we obeying? Yes, there's two. There's no third player in the game. Either the nafs will tell us or tell me, we will obey the nafs. Ajib, oh, you'll die, doesn't matter, take this, you become poor, you can do this, is wrong. All the nafs plays its tricks. Oh, it satisfies the individual. It's alright, carry on, do what you feel like, it's alright, it's a must. How will we get by? Nowadays, people, even after going to the waliyas of Allah, they continue their wrong. They say, okay, I've done enough now. La hawla wa la quwata illa billah. Maqsada, recognize the objective, my brothers. Recognize the objective. Number one, a very great arif and a Sufi of his time, and individuals have passed like this in history, who had daraja, and they wrote couplets and a sha'ir. They were poets, and I remember this sha'ir, the verses. Murshid Kamil Asa Hunda. Yes, this is in his dialect that I'll explain to you. Murshid Kamil Asa Hunda Jada Topi Mango Chadda ho. Subhanallah. Murshid Kamil Aisa Hunda Jira Topi Mangu Chadda ho. So what does this mean to you? This is a very great statement. Mail Kachol Anj Kar Denda piche mail koi na vajda ho. Subhanallah. Glory be to Allah. Mail ko chalnu anch kar denda piche mail na koi vajda ho. And then further he says, Subhanallah. Naal mila sache aashik da mail anj hunda ude rood vich vasda hu. Subhanallah. And so let's hear now the meaning of this. What does it mean? Punjabi, if you know, then you'll understand. If you know, so this great sheikh stated, and a very high level of piety he had. He said that the Murshid Kamil, the Kamil Sheikh, the complete Sheikh, he is like the dobi, you know, the cleaner of clothes when you go to the, not the laundry or the washing machine, they don't wash, we don't even know if the clothes are pure. The true dobi, how does he wash the clothes? Have you ever seen? When they take the clothes, they beat the clothes on the rock, and then they twist and turn the clothes and throw water on them and beat the clothes with the staff. And can anybody then complain, why are you beating the clothes so hard? And the dobi, the laundry, the person, he says, if I hit and beat, do sabr. When I prepare you a clothing, then you will go onto the body of that person. That is as if he's going to meet the king. And this will be the value of the clothes. Could you wear these clothes now? Could you go to the majlis with these clothes on, dirty with stains? But I'm beating you and cleaning you and washing you, making so clean and pure and white. Then these libas, you can go to the majalis of the kings. Subhanallah. So for example, do you ever come with dirty libas here to this majlis? Do you? No. Yes. Even the sheikh, subhanAllah, we have the washing machine, you put the clothes in the washing machine and the washing powder, we look out for such a sheikh. No, look around, show us some shortcut, Hazrat. Tell me something shortcut, just focus on me, Hazrat, so I don't need to do anything. Like, we want the washing machine sheikh, the machine that maybe doesn't even clean the clothes fully. But the true sheikh, Kamil, is like the traditional dobi, the person who cleans the clothes physically. And he takes the dirt and impurities out, such those dirt and impurities that are inside you, the contaminants that are spoiling our ibadat. Hazrat Sahib, you are pious, you've got titles. And people call out to us with titles, and we want the recognition that you walk around in the world, you look for titles. Tomorrow you'll be unraveled, and you want people to run after you, that you are this, sir, Sheikh Hazrat, with titles. And if I say something, for example, and they'll say, oh, he's criticizing us. He's telling us that we are wrong. This is a problem. As, oh, look, Sheikh Saab, he's criticizing us nowadays. Oh, stop him coming to the masjid. He hosts the dhikr and he criticizes us. Stop him coming to the masjid. Is this true or not? Tell me. Yes, that we haven't gone to any murshid to understand the nafs. And if we go to the murshid, he's like a washing machine that doesn't clean the clothes fully. Washing machine, automatic. Otherwise, go from here to a Kamil Sheikh. 3,000 miles I would travel. I had no money in my pocket. Alhamdulillah, I'd leave my shop, I'd leave my family, not 1-2 years, for many years with the fadl of Allah, I would go and travel to see my sheikh, to do his didar, ziyarat, speak about my sheikh. Subhanallah. He said, not a small thing, big thing, every Thursday night in Gadai Sharif, from Gadai Sharif to Miskinpura, we would go 150 miles, like from here to London. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah, walking. And what did Shaykh say? That beware, how dare in the way, if you ask for something from someone, or eat something, or drink water from somebody's hands, in the same way you travel and come back. And he stated that in our clothes we would tie up dry lentils, and there's a river in between, the river Sindh. Yes. So as I said, I would travel across the river Sindh on the boat. We get to the other side of the river, and then after traveling for that 200 miles, then the village would come, Miskinpura. Hazrat Sahib would go from Gadai Sharif to Miskinpura to see his sheikh and to do dhikr on Thursday night. Could he fuss in such a person who did this every Thursday night? And imagine the qadr of the name of Allah. We have the sheikh like a washing machine, mashallah. But he was a real sheikh, the dobi, who cleaned the impurities from the clothes. And if Hazrat Sahib got late, little bit late, and the food was eaten, oh, I've come, make food for me, make tea for me, chai pani, and do this and that. No. In the evening, even if I was 15 minutes late, Yeah, Hazrat Sahib said, I walked so long coming from so far. If we arrive late sometimes, then after that, then we'd get tea in the morning, the one cup of tea that we were going to get all night long. There was no food to eat. And we could just say, Allahu, people remembering Allah. And there was no eating, drinking. For how many years? 30, 40 years journey. Hazrat Sahib, my sheikh, went to travel to meet his sheikh. And I'd go by plane from here. And beyond that, imagine what his sheikh said. They go beyond that, 300 miles from Miskinpur to Dera Ismail Khan, Hazrat Fazlul Quraish would go to see his sheikh, Rahmatullah. Okay, now give you the example, like from here to Glasgow. Going across the mountains by foot, Hazrat Fadl Ali Qureshi, Rahmatullah, would go to see his sheikh. And in the way, there's no ease, not taking any from anyone, not giving anything to one, and no money, and like, for example, with currency today. Yes, and then go to the Khan of his sheikh, Thursday night, sit and do dhikr and langar, listen to the words of his sheikh. They'd cry and would ismizat, the name of Allah, not have effect on such great personalities? Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is what we call tussling, clashing with the nafs. And this is the murshid, the kamil sheikh, who in this tariqah purifies the students inside, internally. So the honest ashik, the true sincere student, is he who with which lulu basdahu. The true solid student, murid, student is he who will attain Allah's nearness, is that he has such a link with his sheikh, closeness, that in his body, in every hair and flesh of the, within the body of the student, he is remembering and is the connection with the teacher. The question doesn't arise that the sheikh is giving nasiha to the student and he minds, or he's upset, or he doesn't like the nasiha of the sheikh, or the sheikh has to beg to the student, oh sorry, my student, I won't say anything to you again, I won't correct you again. No. If the sheikh has given instruction or nasiha, advice to the student, alhamdulillah, then for the students it's so massive that you cannot understand the gift, the treasure that the student has received. What is tazkiyah of the nafs? Why does the student go to the sheikh, to the company of the sheikh? What is it you're attaining? There's the reason, the prime reason. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand? Why does a student go to the sheikh? As I said, that for example, oh, nowadays, oh, I pray salah, I do ibadah, I worship, I do this and that. The examples I've given to you, I'll give you the examples. And inside a person's a donkey, and outwardly he's presenting himself as pious. They sit in front of the wali of Allah. So what does the sheikh do? This is what happens. Asal, the genuine action is when the student goes to the sheikh's company, then the nafs is controlled. The first step between the murid and the sheikh is that everything the student puts in front of the sheikh, he opens out his whole situation in front of the sheikh, and he bears himself in front of the sheikh. This is a small example, and a very small example I'll give to you. And this is not an example. For example, a woman gets married to a man, and when the woman gets married to the man, then that woman, she has her husband as her amir, and she tries to fulfill the needs and give happiness to the husband, etc. But sometimes there's disputes or quarrels, and she has sabr, and she's going to advise, have sabr, continue. There are defects maybe in the husband, he's disrespectful or rude. She tries to still please the husband, and then subhanAllah, then the house starts to run and happiness comes. And this is a small example, but the murid, the student, is that when he goes to the sheikh, then he wants to attain Allah's nearness, then all of his desires and his nafs and that, for example, whatever the sheikh instructs him to do is correct. And for example, if it's haram, he will obviously take person who's haram. And the sheikh, he tests and challenges the student sometimes, and the student has to follow the advice and the guidance of the sheikh at that time. For example, I'll tell you an example, a true story. There was a murid, and he would keep on asking everything from his sheikh. Guidance, question, Hazrat, shall I do this? Hazrat, I'm about to do this, shall I do this? He had crushed his desires, and he said, I will follow the instructions of my sheikh. So once he said, Hazrat, and Hazrat was sitting in Jalla, he said, what is it? He said, Hazrat, shall I do this, etc.? He said, just go. Go and drown. Just, he said, go, be gone with you. And he went straight into the well, and he jumped into the well. And the sheikh, after a while, he came into some. He said, oh, I don't want him to jump and to the well. Go, he said to one of his students, has he gone and jumped into the well? He went and saw that he's drowned. Then take him out. When he came out, he was totally fine. He came back to Hazrat Sahib. He said, that you went and jumped into the well. How did you come back out? He said that you were stood at the bottom and you saved me. Allahu Akbar. So this is a spiritual image of an angel Allah Ta'ala sent. So ittiqadi had ittiqad aqeedah. Whatever my sheikh says is beneficial for me. Whatever the Shaykh says, whether it outwardly seems wrong, I will follow it. Ibadat, worship, however much the Shaykh says, that's enough for the student in his life. Whatever he does. Anything a Shaykh says, don't do this, he gives him hukum order. This is cool to crush your desires for the sake of the Shaykh's desires. Is there any murid like this nowadays? No, but we want the link with the washing machine, Shaykh. And what daraja do we want? The nearness to Allah. We want to be Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, Bayazid Bastami, Rabia Basri, rahmatullahi alayhi. We want to become like them. So a little bit of the word, if the Shaykh gives an instruction to a student and the student doesn't like it, then there's problem. Oh, he said this to me, he told me this. Nowadays, I tell you, even the murid say that the Shaykh prevents the murid from something. What does the murid say? So no, I do this time again. And when my Shaykh feels the pain of my wrong, then from his pain, I get the taste of the honey and the butter. Astaghfirullah. Melting honey butter. Imagine the student saying this. What a big worship of the nafs that person must do. And how much the shaitan has deceived him. He must see kashf and dreams. He must get to the darbar and he must be shown he's pious. And people run after him and tell him he's pious. But no, he is grabbed by shaitan and he's standing in jannah at that time. But from his mouth he says wretched words. He says, I feel lutuf. I get satisfaction of melted butter and honey when my shaykh gets pained when I disobey him. Astaghfirullah. And despite the fact that you get maqam, when even the shaykh tells you to do something which outwardly seems wrong, but you obey the shaykh. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this happens when you get to this maqam as a student. Then the nafs of the individual, it cracks and it breaks. And he says, oh, he's not listening to me anymore, says nafs. He's not worshipping me anymore. He's out of my hands. I've lost control of him. So the leash, you can say, has gone into the hand of the Shaykh, subhanallah. Until the qabr, until the grave, a person should be alert and aware of the nafs' games. It's so dangerous, the nafs' does. So my brothers, this is such a beautiful sabak, a lesson. When this occurs to a person as a student, he may have takabbur. Will he have takabbur anymore? No. Will he have riyah? Will he have envy? Will he have pride? Will he think he's something, an alim, fazil, sufi? Will he consider I'm an alim, scholar, great status? No. That's why I stated the great Sufi Hazrat, the great Sufis, as a Mulana Rum, Rahmatullah, Hazrat Sultan Bau, and great Shaykhs who passed in the history of Islam. And Allah Ta'ala gave them the power of poetry, and look at their lives. They would consider themselves that worse than dust and soil. In the dunya, they had a maqam. People knew them very well, that these were people who had the power. Allah gave them power, even deceased would come to life. Allah Ta'ala had given them such status, but they considered themselves as minor because they had crushed their nafs and their desires. Except for defects and sins, they could see nothing else in their lives. So when a person's dirt and impurity comes out with the fadl of Allah, then that insan, that human being, starts to become made, polished. Then his ibadat is polished because the contamination and impurities have come out. That salah we've learned. Then there's barakah, blessings, and effect. Same ibadat, same Quran. At that time, when the contamination comes out, impurities come out, then that person starts to progress. So brothers, understand this effort. And this is our maqsad, to crush, trample on the nafs. And as long as we don't control our nafs, dhikr, adhkar, this is not our end point. Remember this. Dhikr is not the objective. Adhkar is not the objective. Recitation, remember, so this is the cure. Shaykh is not the maqsad, it's the means. We need the result. And the result of the shaykh and the dhikr, those who are striving, then how much have I crushed my nafs? How much am I controlling my nafs? Am I obeying my nafs or am I prepared to listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Keep on comparing. Wherever Allah ta'ala's hukam comes, if we receive that, embrace it, and we suppress shaytan, suppress the nafs as much as you can say what you want, but I don't want to listen to you. We say that. That's it. Then we've won the game. Just like today, tahajjud salah, tahajjud prayer. The Sufis, they say to themselves, it's fard on us. It's fard for the Sufi, tahajjud salah. And the biggest, you could say, tool to crush their desires is tahajjud. You can pray tahajjud after Isha if you want, because tahajjud time starts after Isha. But the real tahajjud is that when a person, subhanAllah, gets up in the third part of the night, does wudu with the cold water, leaves the warmth of his bed. That's the nafs fighting, nafs crushing the desires. He wakes up in the third part of the night and prepares and prays tahajjud, the nafal salah, recites Quran, does dua to Allah. That is the person who is fighting his desires. That is the person. Then his status, great status Allah has given. His status is such that I hear myself, Allah Ta'ala says, what you are doing, that you are doing correct. So the more a person crushes his desires and remembers Allah, the more a person tramples on his desires and remembers Allah, then he gets more closer to Allah. The more closer to Allah that person becomes. Remember this point. When a person tries to worship with his nafs in parallel, for example, you've left home and then it starts to rain and you don't have an umbrella, then you say, oh, leave, I don't have an umbrella. Oh, it's okay, I'll listen online at home. I've left my umbrella, and he goes back. The other person says, no problem, I'll get wet in the rain, but then I'll get to the house of Allah, to the majlis, and I'm going for the sake of Allah's name. Doesn't matter how much pain I get on the way. Even if I get a cold or flu, then all of this will become ibadah for me. More status, more rewards are different in the status. Yes? So the more, from the call of Allah, we strive and work hard and go through difficulties, and that person cannot do it himself. So who's taking out the cracking, the vibration of the nafs? The murshid, the true cleaner of the clothes, not the washing machine sheikh. We have washing machine automatic sheikhs. No, it's okay. You're the best, my student. You don't need to listen to me. You're fine. You're the best of the best. And you'll get khilafat from me. You'll become the sheikh. And he hasn't even met him. And he starts to take out the paper and they print and start throwing it in the leaflets into the houses, that I'm a sheikh and sheikh of this deputy of this sheikh. So today, people like me and murids like you, but even this is a great na'mah. Great, at least we're doing nakal, imitating the genuine sheikhs who went before us. At least we're imitating. And through this imitation, Allah will make us genuine, inshallah. Yes, don't worry. You'll become asal, the genuine article. Nowadays, we're broken down. We're broken down. They stated one sheikh, then what game are you playing? Whatever you see, a wali of Allah, genuine, do bayah with him. Don't look around for Junaid Baghdadi and looking for the greatest, that Junaid Baghdadi will come. He should be a great sheikh with knowledge and he should have kashf and this, and then he'll be a sheikh. And if you're looking for that sheikh, then even the broken down sheikh you have, he will even pass by. Take his hand straight away, because that Junaid Baghdadi that you are waiting for, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that in this shaykh of yours, Allah will give you the same as Junaid Baghdadi. But correct your niyyah, your intention. And from the shaykh, you will get the same things. Make your niyyah correct, Allah will give you. Is it the shaykh who's going to give? So this is a very big point, that at least we're doing naqal of this great path and subject of the deen. And if we do naqal and imitate the pious predecessors, then Allah will give us a result. But remember the maqsad, the objective, the prime objective is that we want to crush our desires, nafs. That's why I say the tazkiyah sheets is a great method and pattern to eliminate the nafs, and write the honest answers on the tazkiyah sheets. Don't lie or deceive or try to not say the truth. And we know if there's a tick, everything's there. The sheikh knows. And Allah Ta'ala gives the inspiration and allows the sheikh to have insight that he's playing games, and give him some 3 or 4 knockbacks. And remember, always be prepared for the sheikh's feedback. Because if the feedback comes, even if it's a stick or a scold, and be grateful that you got a slap, you should be happy. Allah, your karam. That from here we realize that Allah Ta'ala's attention is towards us. That Allah Ta'ala wants to correct us. Rather, we should be grateful that at least our shaykh is paying attention to us, even if he's angry. If it wasn't out of love, at least there's some tawajjuh and attention towards me, alhamdulillah. We are dependent and we require this. May Allah Ta'ala give us all success in this path of the tasawwuf, tazkiyah. Very dangerous path, very sensitive path. It's not easy to attain success on this path. This is a great objective to attain Jannah, my brothers, to get paradise. And if from here you want to travel to London in the morning, then you'll prepare, you have to book a ticket, you have to see what bus am I going to take, where's the bus station, where do I have to travel to, what train time, what booking. You have to prepare, you have to make effort, isn't it, just to go to London. And the train will go this time, when will it return, how much is the return ticket, what time will I have to return to the station, what time does it depart. You have to make effort, then you'll go, you'll sit on the train looking for the seat, and all of this is an effort for the journey, temporary journey, small, one day. But we are on the path to paradise, aren't we? Will there not be difficulties on the way? Don't we have to work hard on this path? So totally, do not think, it's fine, just pray namaz where everyone, come home, put your feet up, I'm the best. No. Salah is a great practice, but we are wasting this asset. We are not purifying our salah. The same ibadah that Allah Ta'ala has given us the tawfiq to do, keep on washing them, cleansing them by purifying your nafs and desires. If you're doing the work of the deen, if Allah has given you some work of the deen to serve the deen, then keep on washing yourself, cleansing, purifying. And you can only wash yourself with the true cleaner, the traditional cleaner, the dobi, who will clean the dirt and impurities. Go to the wali of Allah, who you consider a true wali of Allah. No angel or Jibreel or someone come and tell you this is a wali of Allah, go to him. No. Before, in the older days, this would happen, not now. If your heart is attesting, testifying that this is a pious servant of Allah, wali Allah, okay, fine, I'll take his company and grab hold of his hand and take his guidance whenever you get the chance. Nowadays, whenever you get the chance, you can go with ease, you can meet the Shaykh, and you have the ease. Allah's given us that flexibility, so even if we can't even do this, then we are losers. Should we do this or not, my friends? Pay attention to this. We need to work hard. This is a journey of working hard, and the way we need to work hard is not to obey the nafs, the desires, the base desires. Salah times come, nafs are making excuses. What is Allah Ta'ala saying? Allah, has He allowed you, excuse you to leave Salah? As Allah said, you don't have to pray Salah. Think this, that this Salah that I will leave, has Allah given me excuse to leave Salah? Okay, maybe if you're ill or there are excuses in the if you can leave Jamaat congregation for this reason, X, Y, Z, isn't it? But look at that, study it, that in this list is my name there, that I can leave Jamaat congregation Salah. And if the excuse is not there according to Shara, then you are obeying your nafs. And a person who makes niyam, a salatam, which is the hukam, they go to the front row and pray salah with takbir ula. So we should make niyam before. No, I'll go to the back and pray in the rear row, I'll get the salah. No, this is nafs. Hukam, who should we obey? Whose order? Allah Ta'ala. If you strive, make effort. Sometimes it happens you can get late, you have to do wudu in the car, traffic, etc. But your niyah was that you wanted to get to the front saf. When I get there, I'll pray in the front row with takbir ula, with the initial takbir. Allah, tell you this. So you've made effort. Naturally, if some obstacle comes and delays you, what can you do? Sometimes it takes long to do wudu or putting the clothes on or leaving home. Things happen sometimes to delay. So what does Allah say? Don't worry, I'm going along with your niyah. So you are included in that thawab, that reward. Yes, you woke up, you had the fikr, the worry, I want to go and pray Salah and Takbir Ula. But if you're already lazy, I'll get there late, I don't need to go Takbir Ula. It's essential for this reason, because your nafs is telling you it's not, and Allah is saying on the other side that it's essential. So who do we need to obey? Who? Then we have to crush the desires and obey Allah. If you're not crushing the desires, then you have defeated. You're defeated. And the ulama mujahidah, they think all of this is a waste. But doing bayah is a waste. Connection with the Shaykh is a waste, because we want to do according to our desires. Can I do this nafil, keep these fast, do this much or do that much? We want to follow our own desires. And the Shaykh, if he gives you his opinion and desire, then you make a frown, a face. Why are you telling me to do this? Why do I have to do this? Oh, you stop me doing thawab and you're preventing me do worship actions. I used to do so many actions, I can do things. Well, no, you can never succeed if you criticize and make a fuss in front of the Shaykh. The Naqshbandi silsila, here you can never express and follow your desires. Pray 5 times salam and pray ishraq salam, tahajjud become regular. Alallah al-khair salam. That's it. If a person does this today and go towards the genuine work, that all day long from the morning, I am not going to obey my desires. And work hard on this fact. Not nafil and extra volunteer recitation and prayers. Don't run after them. First step in the morning, I'm not going to listen to my desires. Allah Ta'ala has told me, wake up early and prepare for salah, and then go to the front row and pray in safa, the ula. And takbir ula, whoever does this, alhamdulillah, then he has passed the test. He has reached the peak of the mountain. First test pass, then the second test, dhuhr salah, then test again, then pass. It's written, he has passed, he has crushed his desires. And in this way, during the day, the work, the task of the deen, our nafs is saying this, opposite to Allah, but Allah's hukum is this. No, there's no flexibility. And maybe there's a loss, worldly, let the loss come. That's worldly loss. But what about the hereafter? Maybe in the world there's a loss. This is a test for me. This is a test for me. This is my test, my challenge. And if I'm try to play games, oh, he does that, oh, I'm forced to do this, I don't have to do this. And for example, if you're given an instruction, you do it. And if you're not allowed to do it, then leave it. Don't take the loss. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and give us His karam. Let's do dua. That Allah Ta'ala accepts. Ameen.